Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarane Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishnam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Kadarhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama,
Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Ibo, Hare Ibo,
Hare
Ibo. So Sri Mayapur Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham, Sri Navadvip Dham. Navadvip means nine islands. Nine islands in the northern part of West Bengal. And there's a place called Navadvip, Nine Islands. Though they are not actually islands, they are called like that, Dvipa. Because the way the Ganges in that area cuts the land into different sections. And the different rivers, there are many different rivers there. Mainly Ganga and Jalangi rivers. And the different sections of that land are split according to those rivers. And so they are called islands. But it really, that name is the nine islands refers to the nine processes of devotional service. It's divided like that. Nine processes of devotional service means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, right? Hearing, chanting, remembering the Lord, serving the lotus feet, Padasevanam, Archanam means worshipping, Vandanam means offering prayers, Dasyam means becoming a servant, Sakya means becoming a friend, and Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything, surrendering one's whole entire self to Krishna. And these are the nine processes called of devotional service. And Sri Mayapur Dham is one of those dvipas, one of those islands. And that Mayapur Dham is the place of Atmanivedanam, the place of total surrender. And is there in Sri Mayapur Dham that Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was born, according to the calendar of the Western calendar, that was about 1487, I think, sometime around that area, just before 1500, a few years before 1500, 1487, I believe, is the date year that he was born. So we say about 500 years ago, Mahaprabhu appeared in Sri Navadvip Dham. And that place is marked by a temple and neem tree. Mahaprabhu was born under the neem tree, it said. And therefore he was called Nimai Pandit. Nimai means the neem tree. He was called Nimai Pandit. He was called Pandit because he was such an intelligent fellow. Mm-hmm. Very expert in logical argument. He used to, anyone who would come to him, he would be able to, with their logic, he would be able to defeat them. At first, they would tell them, the person would tell them their logical argument, then Mahaprabhu would defeat them with his own logic. And then, after defeating them, he would establish their position in the proper logical way. I would actually take their position and establish it in the proper logical, very tight logical way that even that person could not defeat it. And then he would defeat that argument by himself. He was so expert. First he would defeat their argument, then he would establish their argument, then he would defeat what he had established. To show thoroughly, this man was thoroughly convinced that what Mahaprabhu was saying was so superior that he could deal with them like that. They could understand. He was no ordinary logician, supreme logician. Therefore, he was called Pundit. Nimai Pundit. Anyhow, Mayapur, where Mahaprabhu was born. So, I'm not, my memory on all these things, all the teachings of Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books, I am not so well read in all those things, and I don't remember them all. So I like to read something that has been written here. Internet is very useful. We can find so many things written. Here's a nice, I found it. It's Ramapriya, why you can't be added to this chat due to privacy settings. What does it mean, Krishna Prabhu? Do you know?
Maharaj, you must have put some set restrictions. Like, don't know. I'll try to add him.
You can send him. Set that link. So here we have something about Mayapur, Tripura Gopal. You can read here. 1486. Sorry. I was born in 1486. Mayapur, birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared in 1486 and performed many of his early pastimes. 130 kilometers north of Calcutta. And the Ganges cuts between Mayapur and Navadvip. Navadvip used to be the capital of Bengal. It was a very, actually Navadvip was a very important place of learning. It was a place of great learning, very great education. Anyone who wanted to learn logic, Nyaya, would go to Navadvip. And there was the capital, big city, was there at that time in 1486. Nowadays, it's not so popular. But at that time, it was very popular. It used to be the central capital of the whole West Bengal. Or Bengal at that time was not divided into East and West. All right. And Mayapur is one of the most sacred and peaceful areas in all of India. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, of all the places on the earth, the Sri Navadvip Dham was the most sacred of all. Bhaktivinoda told that. That of all the places on the earth, if anyone wants to find the most sacred place, it is Navadvip Dham. He did not even say Vrindavan. He said Navadvip. So Sri Chaitanya is not different from Krishna. Krishna appeared as a devotee of the Lord in the form of Lord Chaitanya. He showed us all by his example how to perform the Juga Dharma, Sankirtan Yajna, and he's the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. In this Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan Yajna is the principal means of pleasing the Lord. What is that verse? Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, 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 katiranyata. Kalo means Kali. In the Kali Yuga, the method of pleasing the Lord is the holy name, chanting the holy name. And not only chanting the holy name, but in the association of the Vaishnavas. In the association of the Vaishnava, what does association mean? To be in connection with someone who is more advanced than ourselves. And to serve, therefore, an humble mood, serving mood, respectful mood, serving devotees of the Lord. That is association. Having respectful, serving mood toward the devotees. In that mood, we can cultivate Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means consciousness of service, humility, service, submission, surrender, Material consciousness means exploitation. Spiritual consciousness means dedication. And in between, liberation. Liberation, exploitation, dedication, like that. These three things, we can understand how to make, divide the consciousness of the living entity from material to spiritual to some neutral position. So if we want to cultivate our spiritual identity, then we must have association of sadhu. Association meaning this dedicating spirit. And in that dedicating spirit, we cultivate the sankirtan. That means chanting. Don't sit silent. Utilize whatever you have. At least your voice you can utilize in the service of Krishna and the glorification of Krishna. And speaking that loudly to everyone, because in this age nobody knows God. God consciousness is becoming extinct. Becoming extinct. So we don't want that. We want it to become propagated more and more. And let's see what else we have here. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, at Mayapur, Sri Chaitanya Dev displayed his childhood pastimes, and one can see through them Sri Krishna's leelas. Mahaprabhu's leela and Krishna's leela are non-different. From the transcendental perspective, we can understand this. How we think, is separation and union the same thing? Separation and union are opposites. Then how can the pastimes of separation of Mahaprabhu be the same as Radha and Krishna's conjugal relationships? They are. They are. That's the nature of the absolute world. Union and separation are identical from the absolute platform. There are no difference. The feelings are even more intense in the separation and the pastimes of separation. That is a deep subject. We won't go into that. But from the absolute platform, even opposites are identical. That is the spiritual understanding. That is the transcendental understanding. Present understanding of duality, that this is different from that, and that is different from this. That position is overcome in the transcendental plane of the absolute, because there nothing is self-directed. We become free of this self-centered existence. Then we will be able to understand the absolute platform of non-differentiated differentiation. We can say achintya bheda bheda tattva, how identity and difference are identical. We can understand that from our present position of relative perspective, in which the self is the center. As soon as the self-centeredness is overcome, then the absolute platform can be realized as it is in and for itself. Reality is by itself and for itself, and to enter into that kind of understanding of reality means to transcend our own self-centered existence. At present, we try to view reality from our perspective. And that way, something will be good, something will not be good, from my perspective. But from the perspective of the absolute, everything is okay. Everything is permitted, everything is harmonized. Even so-called opposite things, what I consider opposite, will in the absolute perspective be harmonized. And you know, that is the task of the devotee, to completely give himself up to the desire of the absolute, of the surrender to the reality, that by itself and for itself, Guru Maharaj used to say, Srila Maharaj used to say, die to live. We have to die to our self-centered existence to live in that plane of reality. And there we will see all these things are harmonized, union and separation being one and the same. Then anyhow, that's what else we have here. after Lord Chaitanya left this world, then many of the holy places were temporarily hidden by the jungle, the veil of ignorance, Sriman Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that played a very instrumental role in rediscovering them in the recent age, and he revealed to the Gaudiya Vaishnava community the exact spot where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and displayed many of his pastimes. Late one December night in the year 1887, while sitting on the roof of the Rani Dharmashala in Navadvip, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was concentrating on the chanting of the Maha Mantra under his Japa beads. Suddenly, his meditation was disturbed by a divine vision appearing toward the north across the river Ganga. He looked up and saw an unusual illumination in which he noticed a very tall palm tree. Just near that tree, he saw a small house which was producing this brilliant effulgence. Srila Bhaktivinoda immediately understood that his long search to uncover the factual birth site of Mahaprabhu was drawing to a successful close. For centuries, the followers of Lord Chaitanya were uncertain of the exact location of Sri Chaitanya's birth, as the place had been inundated by flood soon after his disappearance. Srila Bhaktivinoda had long cherished the dream to re-establish the true birthplace and erect a glorious temple for Lord Chaitanya. He had studied old manuscripts of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Narhari Sakar Thakur's Navadvip Dham Parikrama, 18th century maps by the British surveyors, gazettes, and all government records, and ascertained that ancient Nadia was previously on the eastern bank of the Ganga, from where the wonderful illumination was coming. He soon discovered that the site of the world wonderful illumination had many rumors and stories attached to it. The area contained seven large dirt mounds on which nothing would grow except tulsi plants. On different nights, strange sounds and lights emanated from the spot, and the superstitious Muslim villagers would keep a respectful distance from there. After speaking with many respected saintly persons, Srila Bhaktivinoda decided to bring his spiritual master, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, to that spot. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was at that time very old and infirm. He could not walk, and he had to be carried in a basket. His vision was obstructed because his eyelids had grown so loose over the years that he could barely open them. They crossed the river Jalangi and a small wooden boat and gradually made their way to the spot. And once Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj discerned that this was indeed the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, and in great transcendental joy, he leaped from the basket and jumped high in the air, shouting the names of Lord, even though minutes before he was incapable of even standing on his weak and aged limbs. Srila Bhaktivinoda and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji both wept in tears of ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya's birthplace had been found. Then soon, by the single-handed efforts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a beautiful temple was erected on the spot, and Srila Bhaktivinoda's vision began to expand. He predicted in his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita a day when people of foreign lands would join with their Indian brothers at the holy land of Sri Mayapur, chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, and dancing in the ecstasy of Sri Krishna Sankirtana. And he wrote of a great personality who would soon appear to fulfill his prediction. And as a picture, Mahaprabhu appeared beneath this neem tree. Bhaktivinoda used to go door to door for raising funds to construct the temple that was being to be built there. And also Sri Vasangam is very close to that spot where Sri Vas Pandit lived. Lord Chaitanya and his associates used to have Sankirtan all night there. This is where Chandkasi broke the Mridanga drum and demanded Kirtan be stopped. Mahaprabhu also displayed his Mahaprakash here and accepted worship for 21 hours. Next to that is 1 kilometer past that birthplace is Sri Chaitanya Math, that is the old Gaudiya Math started by Saraswati Thakur. Here, Bhaktisiddhanta and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Samadhis are located, as well as the spot where Chandrasekhar Swami used to be, Chandrasekhar's wife, was the younger sister of Sachi Devi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother. Then next to that is the Murari Gupta's house. Here we find the deities of Sita Ram and Hanuman at his temple. At this temple, are said to have been worshipped by Murari Gupta and his family. And behind Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, near the bank of the Palaldigni, and is about 10-minute walk. Chandkazi Samadhi is initially the chief magistrate of that time during Mahaprabhu's life, and tried to stop the chanting of the holy names. He was later converted and became a pure devotee. A samadhi is located here, and from it sprouts a champaka tree, which is said to be 500 years old. 500 years, that's how long ago Mahaprabhu appeared, and that champaka tree is still growing there. Chandkazi, and then Jagannath Mandir. Lord Jagannath revealed himself to his pure devotee here. All the pastimes of the Lord are found in Sri Gauramandal, and all his Jagannath pastimes can be realized here in and around this location. One story in relationship to this holy place is that a devotee by the name of Jagadish Ganguly used to visit the Jagannath Puri every year to have darshan of Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Swami. In his old age, he became blind and could no longer make the pilgrimage. Then Lord Jagannath spoke to him in the dream and said, "When you take your bath in the Ganges, you will find a log. And from that log, I will manifest myself." After carving the Jagannath deities from the log, the blindness of the devotee vanished. Sridhar Rangan, this is where Kulavesh Sridhar had his home. And Nandanacharya's house. All these places can be found in and around the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu had their first meeting. The temple marks the spot where the house used to be. And then, in the next week, Gautam, we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. While living here, Bhaktivinoda wrote to Navadvip Mahatmya, which describes the glories of Navadvip Dham. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Gaur Kishoridas Babaji are also located here. And then the Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir is in located next to that, next to the yoga pit where it played birthplace of Mahaprabhu. That world headquarters of ISKCON, landscape yard is the temple of Sri Radha Madhava, surrounded by gopis. Vedic planetarium is underway. And the original living quarters of Srila Prabhupada, Madhat, and Pushpa Samadhi of Prabhupada are found there. And there are different places. When one goes to Navadvipa, across the Ganges, they can find Devananda Gaudiya Math and Sri Chaitanya Sarasama. That is the temple of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Then the Dhameshwar temple of Kuliya Dharmashala. And other places, Rasapur, Prithupukund, and Srinivali, Harihara Kshetra, Savarna Bihar, Hangsa Vahana, Shiva Temple, Belpukar, Samudrakar, Champahati, Vrindavan Das Thakur's house, Vidyanagar, Ekachakra is where Nithananda was born, Garbhavasa, Padmavati Kund, Pandala Tala, Akundukund. These places you can visit when you go to Navadvipa. All these temples, all these ashrams, all so many places where the pastimes of Mahaprabhu were performed, and the great personalities used to stay who were associates of Mahaprabhu. All these things you can find there. Generally, the devotees during the pilgrimage of the Gaur Purnima, they go on parikram, large assembly of devotees. They all go together en masse to visit these holy places. And they spend 3 or 4 days doing that. It is extremely glorious and extremely joyous to go on these pilgrimages. When you go there, you can also join in those kirtans. And don't avoid going. At least once you must do that. Devotees go in their bare feet. So this way they are walking in the holy places. They don't touch with any shoe. They touch only with their feet. and undergoing great austerities, they go and visit all these places. And even there are boats that carry the pilgrims across the different rivers. I'll have to take some boat rides. Very nice. And like that, bathing in the Ganges. The opportunity will be there to bathe in the Ganges and to take prasad with the devotees. Even on the parikram, they take prasad with them. Or sometimes, the different places, they will give you some prasad. When the pilgrims come, they may also provide. Painting, when we go to the Holy Dham, is remember that that is non-different from the spiritual world. Don't try to find fault with anything in the Dham that is like this or is like that, or with the residents of the Dham. Some of them may be Muslims, some of them may be others, businessmen, but we should not see them as any fault in them. They are all residents of the Dham. We must give them all our respect. Even an insect born there is of special quality. I don't know. One devotee was reminding me once when I was staying there, they would put up these mosquito nets over our sleeping bags because there are a lot of mosquitoes there. And sometimes there were mosquitoes inside the net. Somehow they would get inside when we put them up. And I would always very carefully capture those mosquitoes and put them outside the net. Others were killing them. But I felt they were also residents of the Dham, that if I could take birth in the Dham even as a mosquito, I'd be very happy. So I could not kill them and put them outside. Come out to capture them and put them out. Well, like that. Remember Govinda Maharaj? Some tree was there growing in the Chaitanya Saraswati Math courtyard. And he wanted to build the samadhi of Guru Maharaj, Srila Maharaj, in that place. Then he was thinking how he can build a samadhi around that tree so that he would not have to cut that tree. It was a mango tree. So that he would not have to cut that mango tree, he thought. He was trying to plan in so many different ways how he could build the samadhi without disturbing that tree. Anyhow, the next day that tree died. And he was thinking, here I was only thinking about how what I can do with that tree. I did not want to disturb it because it is also a resident of the Dham. Then that tree by its own heart understood the desire and then left its body. And so that tree could easily be taken down. Like that, even the trees and the insects, all the residents, we should give highest respect to, because our aspiration is to take birth in the holy place, in the house of the devotee, association of the devotees, to take birth there so that we can have their association our whole life. That would be the highest benediction we can aspire for. We should aspire for. With that kind of mood, we have to go to the Holy Dham, giving all respect to that place as non-different from the spiritual world. And only when our vision becomes purified, when the scales of Maya fall from our eyes, then we can see what is the real significance of that place and how Mahaprabhu's pastimes are still going on there eternally. Can be seen when it has purified his heart. Alright, I think that's all I wanted to say. Main thing. where's all that noise coming from?
Haribol.
Prabhuji, are you having prasadam?
Gaurachand.
How did you guess it?
Well, everyone can get it, Prabhuji.
I'm just
What's that?
Yeah, well, Ramapriya Prabhu is having prasadam, actually.
You did say, are you having prasadam? I'm having prasadam. I said, how did you guess it? Because I went to the right and then I go, I'm saji rice, dal, and sweet rice.
Prabhuji, we wish to have to.
Yes.
Can you distribute some to all of us?
Oh, I wish I could. How can I do
that? We wish you could also.
You prasadam.
Hare Krishna. All right. Now, Abhadut Prabhu, what do you have to ask? What is your question? Do you want to tell us?
Well, I have three questions here. One is,
what is your
I send it.
As Krishna's pastimes for materialize, for the continents, usually one piece of land. Is euthanasia allowed? Oh, all right. Does anyone have any questions about Mayapur first? Raja Gopal?
Maharaj, I have one question. Can I ask?
I have one question, Maharaj.
Okay, go ahead. Akshay Prabhu. Akshay Prabhu, you ask first. Go ahead.
Thanks so much. How it is named as Mayapur?
How is it named as Mayapur? Very good question. Mahaprabhu appeared in this Kali Yuga.
Yes.
He came in the place of Maya. Mayapur means the city of Maya. So Mahaprabhu came in that place where it is most degraded.
Okay.
Because he is Mahavaranaya. He had the most magnanimous Lord. He did not want to come to catch those people who are very elevated in spiritual life. They are already taken care of by their good hearts. But he wanted to show the most extensive love the Lord has. Even for the most fallen, they are not forgotten by Krishna, whose love is so intense, so extensive, so all-encompassing, that even the most fallen were not forgotten by him, and no one should feel disappointed. How much love Krishna has, it is all accommodating. And in that plane of divine love, everyone has a place. We should not think that anyone is neglected by Krishna's love. It touches everyone. Even the most miserable person, envious, cruel person, he is also a part and parcel of Krishna, and somehow or other Krishna is there within his heart and giving him all facility to do whatever he is doing. No one is independent, not, as they say, not even the blade of grass can move without the will of the Lord. One who could rise to that conception of the all-accommodating supreme love of the Lord, he is the true follower of Mahaprabhu. He is the true follower. Mahaprabhu was of that nature. He wanted the most fallen. And the more fallen you are, then his mercy is coming to you more. So that was his whole purpose of his incarnation, to display to the world the most magnanimous love that is being showered upon us. This is his divine nature, the source of most magnanimous love for all. The divine nature. And he wants to demonstrate that this is the thing that we have forgotten, all have forgotten. I think I mentioned this a couple of times. Now, whatever we have that is coming from Krishna, or the air that we breathe, the sunlight, whatever is there, our mother, father, our friends, intelligence, forgetfulness, remembrance, all things are coming from Om Sarvasya Prabhupada, who is the source of everything, Krishna. Everything is coming from him. His love is coming to everyone in this forms of air and light and whatever is there, food, water, friends. He's giving to everyone by his love. And what we want, he is giving us. And even we want to be bad, he's giving us that chance. Okay, he went to the light. Go ahead. I will help. You want to turn from me? You want to become me? Whatever you want, I'm there to help you. Because you are my part and parcel. And I love you. Now, but we have forgotten that love. How much love is there? We are forgetting that. And we are callous toward that. And this is our disease. This is our disease. We don't know. We can't detect. We are not conscious of how much love is coming from him to us. So our business is to develop that. Krishna brain. Awaken that. Wake up to that. What is it? What is our actual position? What is his actual position? What relationship we have to wake up to that, to become conscious of that. And that comes from Yayanilo Premadana. Who was giving that love? Premadana was giving it love. That is the devotee. Devotee has some consciousness of that, some recognition of that by the grace of his guru. And from that we can understand how to awaken that love. Remind us, he comes to remind us of that love. And thereby awaken within us. And in turn, we have to awaken in us. The primary method of being is to be chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna chanting in a proper mood will awaken our love for Krishna, because again we are associating with him, again we are remembering him, and again all these things will become known to us and conscious in us. And by nature, by the natural situation, that arrangement, the divine arrangement, the nature of that divine arrangement, we will come to understand and feel attracted to Krishna and love Krishna just by associating with that sound, and him in the name of, in the form of the sound. We will be able to recognize and reawaken, reestablish our Krishna prema, our love for Krishna. Maya also means mercy. The forgetfulness that we have, Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna. But through that Maya energy, Krishna is also teaching us. We are also learning. We are never separated from Krishna, actually. But Maya makes it seem like we're separated. But even that seeming separation, we are developing love. We are developing our love. Just like it says in English, there's a saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. After being absent from the Lord, we will find that there will be something missing, and we will be feeling that very intensely, and we will want to reestablish that lost connection with the Lord. Just like in recent times, in the 1970s, when Prabhupada was preaching here in America, 1970s, seemed like everything was going in the materialistic direction at that time. Forgetfulness of God was in a massive way. Mass forgetfulness. The whole world seemed to be going into more secularistic direction, materialistic, secular culture. And then something happened. Around the end of the 70s, something happened. At the end of the 60s, anywhere, somewhere in the 70s, there is recorded that something very unusual happened. And many, many books started being published on this religion and the unity of science and religion and the importance of religion and the importance of studying God. Spiritual revival movements, charismatic movements, everything began to happen at that time. Not only in this country, but in the Muslim world and everywhere throughout the world, Russian countries. A great impetus to understand the spiritual dimension of life spontaneously arose throughout the world. And just as the situation seemed to be going in the opposite direction, in the materialist direction, suddenly a change occurred. The thesis was there, then antithesis came. And again, spiritual awareness became prominent. Why? Because living entity is by nature, is eternally Jivara Swarupoi, Krishna Nityadas. He's eternally the servant of Krishna. When he's in a situation where he can't serve Krishna, then some reaction will come within him. And again, that will be awakened. It'll be awakened. It's there, it's dormant. Not an artificial imposition on the soul. It's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition. It's the natural constitution of the soul to be the servant of Krishna. So certainly when he's in an atmosphere where that is not being cultivated, he will feel some loss. And he will again have to return to his original nature. He'll feel an impulse to do that. So Maya, in that sense, means mercy. Maya will take us away, but in taking us away will also bring us closer. Transcendental vision is like that. Then, what other question? Purushottam Prabhu, you had a question. What is your question?
Maharaj, in regard to Bhakti Maharaj, what is the role of knowledge and what is the role of the heart, Maharaj?
I'm sorry, again? Repeat, I couldn't understand.
In devotional service,
yes.
What is the role of knowledge and heart?
Knowledge and heart. Head and heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, Maharaj.
Yane Priyasha Urupasya Namante Eva. It is told that the role of knowledge must be hatefully rejected. In the devotional line, the cultivation of knowledge is utapasya. It means it must be rejected very strongly. Yane prayasya utapasya. Yane prayasya means that the cultivation of knowledge is somehow or other strongly rejected by the devotee who is cultivating gyan shunya bhakti. Bhakti without any desire for knowledge. So Srila Maharaj used to tell us, in the spiritual world we need hands, not heads. We need hands, helping hands. Head won't be very useful there. Your hands will be useful. Because even in the modern culture, the head is not as so useful as those who are doing something. Who are cleaning, taking up the garbage, who are cleaning the streets, who are cleaning the houses, cooking the food. All these things are necessary for our life. These are all handiworks, not headworks. So head is for clearing up the doubts. Knowledge is for clearing our doubts. Who has not a clear vision of what is what? Then he is in the mood of acquiring some knowledge so that he may have a clear understanding of what is what, to be convinced. Knowledge means that I don't know, and I want to know before I do something. Just like mother gives you, the child, some sweet, here's a nice rasgulla. If the child is asking, what is this rasgulla made of? How did you do it? What did you do? How, what kind of ingredients you put into it? That means that he's feeling some suspicion about that rasgulla. How can a mother, the exchange of love for the child, be manifest in such a situation where so many inquiries are being made like that? It is actually a disturbance to the love plane. Who is too inquisitive, who is too trying to understand everything, that can destroy the symptom of love. The loving, natural flow of love between mother and child can be disturbed if too many inquiries are being made like that. It's actually a higher plane. No inquiry is being made. Only faith.
Udava was such a devotee that Krishna was saying, you are like my own self. And he spoke to him, Udava Gita, and such a lot of knowledge. He gave Udava a lot of questions.
Yes, but higher than Udava is what? Higher than Udava is the Gopis. Gopis don't ask any question. We are talking about relative planes also, that the Uddhava and others and the Gopis are the standard of pure devotion, as you see. So we have to understand in different levels, there may be different approaches. It's not that there's anything wrong with acquiring knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge, which is real knowledge. There is no harm. There is nothing wrong in that. No, we're not saying that. But there is higher planes also. And the higher plane, and the gopis, they have no interest in any knowledge. If Krishna wants something, they do it. They don't want to know anything. They don't want to know anything. Even when Narada Muni asked them, give some foot dust for Krishna's headache. Oh yes, we'll do it here, take it. And Narada said, what are you, crazy? You're not thinking what kind of sinful activity will come from you. Well, we don't care. Any sinful activity can come from us. If this will help Krishna, we don't mind anything. This uncalculating devotion they had. Calculative devotion and uncalculated devotion. Two different levels. So there's nothing wrong with acquiring knowledge. But that is not the highest thing. This is what the scriptures tell us. Not the highest. Above that is pure devotion, and in the middle plane we can acquire a knowledge about those things. We are to become purified, to establish ourselves in a higher position, that is okay. But in the highest plane, there is pure devotion, pure love, which governs everything. And we have to respect that. We put that over our head. We don't say that we are in that position. And in a humble position we are approaching, yes, we don't know so many things about that plane. But we are trying to purify ourselves and acquire some understanding of that so we may come to that higher platform in a pure way. That Krishna may accept us and we may be prepared to properly accept that position also. And we know at present our position is very fallen. And we ask Krishna to please raise us up. And whatever we have to do to get to the higher plane, we are ready to do that also. And without any regard that I am in the higher position, I am in the lower position. I have no regard for that. Whatever I have to do to satisfy Krishna, I am ready to do that. And not consider I am the highest devotee or I am the lowest devotee. That is not the consideration. I am the servant of Krishna, and my business is to somehow or other serve whatever capacity I have, and not consideration of my advancement or disadvantage, or fallenness. That's our philosophy. That is what Gaudiya Vaishnava is doing. Not that we want to make ourselves in a higher position than we are. We don't mind. We're ready to learn. And we are taking the learner's position. We are not ashamed that we are learning about Krishna and we want to know more and more about Krishna so that we can come to that higher platform. We are not ashamed of that. That is our position, fallen position. That is also our elevation. That is also our good fortune. That we have the chance to come into the association of the devotees and learn something and try to make progress into the higher plane of purity. But we can serve Krishna with complete faith and no doubts, no calculations, just sweetness, rasa, will be the only guiding force in our life, rasa, not jnana, rasa. In a high position, high plane. And we don't expect to be in that platform. We keep that platform over our head and never think ourselves worthy of that and that whatever taste we are. We are always ready to check that. What is that proper or not proper by going to Gurudev and submitting our position. I don't know. I am not fit for that higher thing. So I am inquiring from you, what should I do? And in a very humble way, submitting ourselves before that higher platform and not thinking that it is ours. Never. We never think it is ours. We always feel from a distance we want to worship that platform, spontaneous rag. But yes, we will take up the acquisition of knowledge, hell happily, in a lower position, so that we may understand better and purify ourselves and help others to become purified. But at the same time, we understand what is the higher position, and we worship that and aspire for that. By the mercy of that platform, the mercy of that plane, we may be dragged up to there. You won't be able to resist once the love has manifested in your heart. You won't be able to resist that platform. You will have to go there. Now that we don't have to make any preparation for that. The only preparation we have to do is purify our own hearts so that if we are called there, then it will be in a pure way, not in a contaminated, not polluted way. Any other question?
Maharaji, I have put a...
All right.
Maharaji, I have put a question on a chat box.
Saffron, how? Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita. He stated in the Gita itself, yet foolish, mundane scholars explain, one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn. There is no difference between Krishna within and without, and one who has no sense of his understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. Can this be explained?
When yesterday I and Akshagupta Prabhu were reading, so he asked this, within and without, and the unborn itself. So I felt like it. Prabhupada is referring to the impersonal approach and the personal approach. Is it?
So, yes, when people say that Krishna is a person, there are certain people who will say that what you are saying is merely a way that you are explaining God, so that you are a finite human being by calling God Krishna a person or God a person. They are trying to explain to you in a way that you can understand, because you are a person and you feel that if you can relate to God, then how to relate to someone who is more than a person, and not a person like you. God is a person, but he's not a person like you. Then how to... they're only telling that so that you can have something to relate to. But really, God is not a person. He has a lot more. He's something more than that. Unmanifest, and you can't understand that because he is the absolute reality. And you are a phenomenal being, a phenomenon. And God is the noumenon. And why you should expect that the noumenon has the same qualities as the phenomenon? That is not reasonable. That's their attempt to explain. Within God, there is something more than just a phenomenal person. There's something more, some energy, some light, some indescribable thing is there, and that is God. You can't describe that. It's unknown and unknowable. Finished. Don't try to... put your finite mind into understanding those things about what God is. You'll only come to some Maya conception. This is your explanation. When we say no, You are fools. They are foolish persons. They are fools. They have not any knowledge of what God has revealed, what Vedas have revealed, what the saints have revealed. They have improper understanding of these things. What God is, He is manifesting already. What He is and what He is manifesting is one and the same thing. Otherwise, God is some abstract thing. He manifests, He reveals Himself in every aspect of His creation. He manifests Himself. Oh, if we see in His creation that there is person, we can understand that God is personal. Otherwise, how it comes? It can't come from an impersonal background. All that we see, all that we know, is a manifestation of God's glories. Is the expression, God's expression of Himself to us. It is not that it is merely Maya. Maya means that it is separated from God, not that it is unreal. That the reality has no expression of any differentiation or any kind of character. But Vaishnava philosophy doesn't accept that. This world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual realm. There can't be anything here in this world that is not there in that world. Can't be. It is not that this just came out as a complete distortion of some undifferentiated thing. There's no question of that, how that can be. Some undifferentiated thing created a differentiated creation. Not possible. From where does the differentiation come? So their philosophy is unreasonable, irrational, and is simply based on misunderstanding. So we have to understand clearly what is the Vaishnava ontology. How the reality is, and its truth. And that is given by the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Gita, Krishna, and the Gita is speaking as a person in order to speak, in order to instruct. It is not that the impersonal can suddenly develop a way of speaking. For what reason would it have to speak? Why would the impersonal have to speak anything? How would it do that? It would be misleading. If the impersonal spoke, it would be just a misleading thing. And how did it develop that misleading character? No one can say. Impersonal is not false. There is no such thing. It's not possible. Our Vaishnava philosophy tells us that. And don't bog down in that kind of irrationality. You are a person, you come from a person who comes from a person like that. Any original is impersonal. not very reasonable. Is that okay? Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu. I can hear you.
I've got all Guru Maharaj books on folio, so I'm sending to Shrida Maharaj books.
Yes.
Maharaj books. He sent me the book on Ocean of Nectar.
I'm sending the subject Evolution of Consciousness as well. If anyone wants books, I can send, I got all the books on folio, so if anyone is interested, just let me know. I can send to you just now, straight away. Anyone?
Okay. Very good. Yes?
Maharaj, you translated the book, right? The Ocean of Nectar?
No. Not that one.
Subjective Evolution?
No, I'm sending this to you now.
You can send to anyone who requests. Those books are available online also. You can send a link where they can download them if anyone likes. Very nice. Anyone else have any question or comment?
Yeah, I have some. I have those questions. I
oh,
don't
you
know
want
if
me
you
to?
Want to
your
deal with
questions
them.
You would like to? Oh, sorry, Prabhu. Now let's see what we can answer your questions. Then, was Krishna's pastimes for the materialized, or happen in an invisible dimension? Okay. Now Krishna tells in the Gita, "Bhaktimam abhijananti." I can be known only by devotees. So we know when Krishna appeared in the wrestling arena, for instance, some people were seeing him as a big egotistic, arrogant person. Others were thinking of him as a demon. Others were thinking of him as, their friend. Others were thinking of this or that or the other thing. But only the devotees were thinking of him as the Supreme Lord. So what was the difference? Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but who can see him? That requires that you be have the proper mood, proper mentality to be able to see Krishna in that way. Krishna reveals himself through humility, through submission and surrender to him. That's the only way he reveals himself, not by any other means, through love. Loving him as God, and then he reveals himself. This is his sweetness. Huh? He is sweetness personified. Akila Rasamrita Murti. Is the reservoir of all sweetness. But one cannot taste that sweetness if he doesn't have the proper sweet mentality. The thing that is preventing us from experiencing that incredible sweetness, that incredible love, is our reluctance to come to that sweet platform, to sweeten your own heart, to become a sweetheart. Our fault is lying in ourself, in our hardened hearts.
Actually, the reason why I'm asking this question, because there are examples I gave before the question, like the 30 billion attendants of bodyguards of Rasena, 30 billion attendants were there, huh? Then also the other examples, what I gave, so many cows and
so the thing is that they are not invisible. They are here right before our eyes right now. Huh? Krishna's here right before our eyes right now, but we're unable to see because of our unwillingness to submit to him. Otherwise, in a minute, in a second, he can unveil, rip the veil of Maya away from our eyes, and we can see him and experience him and dance with him. Right now we can do that. He's invisible only because our heart is not attuned to him. There's a consciousness. You don't have to travel from one place to another to get to see Krishna. Krishna is present. We have to just unveil the Maya from our eyes, tear the Maya from our eyes, and then we can see. Of course, it is not up to us. It is up to him. If we pray, "Dear Krishna, please remove this veil of Maya before my eyes so that I may see you, I may dance with you, I may hold your hand," whatever. And then only will, by his mercy, we may come to that vision. Huh? It is not invisible. It is invisible to those who can't see, but not to the devotee.
For example, in Dvaraka, there were both devotees and non-devotees at the time of Krishna. Huh? And he was giving away from each castle something like 13,059 cows from each castle. Yeah. So that's a huge number. So that the devotees and the non-devotees, that the devotees and non-devotees could see that, that's my question. Yeah. So,
yes. We only relying on this sense vision, this sensual vision. But vision is much more than that, than sensual. Right? Even imagination can be visual. When you're imagining something, that is also visual. And Sridharma is told that Jiva Dharma that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, it seems like they are all imaginary characters. But he told, no, they are actually seeing those things. Bhaktivinoda is actually seeing those persons, and they have their own reality in the imaginary world. What we call imaginary, that is also real. And what we are calling real, that is also imaginary. But we don't understand fully what is seeing. What is the meaning of seeing? We don't know what it is. We tell us something from the light coming into the eye. That's not seeing. Light in the eye does not make you see. Something else is making you see. It is not a chemical reaction in the eye and the eyeball. Never by some chemical reaction. The dead body has the eyeball is there and the reaction is going on, but it doesn't see anything. Right? So we have to understand the true knowledge of what is what. And then we will be able to understand all things.
So you want to say that Krishna's pastimes simultaneously occur in different dimensions?
They occur in some plane, yes. But we may not be able to see that because we are not prepared. Our realization has not progressed, developed to such a stage where we can understand those things, the reality of those things.
Okay. Yes. That's what I am asking is the manifestation of Krishna's pastimes.
There's more to the reality than your understanding and philosophy can capture at the present. More than that. Just like I heard in the Bible, Jesus once told his followers, I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Something like that. You're unable to bear that. And
that particular quote you said, there is more to reality than a philosophy can tell. I think this is one of the quotes of a big personality, I think. There's some
Shakespeare also told that. There's more to your philosophy than you can understand. Something like that Shakespeare said. Anyhow, so number one. Number two, what continents? Oh, sorry. Were continents originally one piece of land that got separated? I don't know. That's what these scientists, these plate tectonics, are saying. As far as the scriptures, I don't know where anything like that is told. Maybe it may not be. I can't say. Then, is euthanasia allowed? I don't know what the scripture says about that. If we can find any example in scripture to mention about that, I don't know. I don't want to make any comments.
Bhishma Pitamaha, Danda Swamiji. Bhishma Pitamaha is lying on the... Bhishma.
Oh, yes. Bhishma. He's lying on that bed of arrows. And no one tried to do anything. What do you want to say?
But then he had option to continue also, and he had option to give up his body also. Then he's giving up his body.
Yes. Yes. And also we know that in the when the husband dies, the wife also enters the fire. She commits suicide. Out of faith in her husband.
Yes, ma'am.
She will also leave her body. I think we cannot make any rule on that. That you must do like this, you must do like that. According to one's realization, he will act.
Well, Krishna conscious philosophy is very scientific. So all these actions, I think there is a big science behind, you know, what really, you know, for it. It's not so easily objectified.
Right. Yes, I don't think we can make any law, any general statement that will cover all situations. What's that?
Yes. Actually, you were giving example earlier that when Maharaj, he wanted to build the Samadhi for Sridhar Maharaj and the mango tree, right?
Yes.
In a way, when we think of such people in distress, where we ourselves are helpless and confused as what to do, sometimes praying to God can give a solution. Maybe sometimes they may get a natural death. I guess the natural death is more pleasing than our death that we impose.
It depends, Prabhu. It depends. What Krishna arranges, that'll be the best. But that depends. Sometimes natural death is not as elevated as human cause of death. To die like a dog, and to die at the hand of a great soul, that may be two different types of death.
But if one remembers the holy name and chant,
just like if Krishna kills you, then you get liberation.
You have to become a demon.
Krishna won't kill any demon.
Maharaj,
a great demon he might kill, but any demon like that he won't kill. You have a great blessing, great like Krishna. What's that, Purushottam?
Maharaj, we have heard that Mercy Maharaj of God is of various categories. So,
yes.
There are two main categories. One is called Samyak Kripa, other is called Asamyak Kripa. That means, for example, when Krishna was killing the demons thought that Krishna is coming to do them some harm. But when they are killed, then they realize that they are in spiritual effulgence. So, through the mercy. So, they realize after the act has been done. But in the case of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he is chastising Jagai Madhai, they can immediately understand that even in the action that the Lord is actually doing mercy to us. So Mahaprabhu's mercy is samyak. That means immediately they can understand. At that time itself, they can understand. So I think Maharaj, mercy, I think, may be understood by the devotee, may not, or some particular individual, or may not be understood.
Yes.
But still it is not in the hand of the individual.
Yes. Possible. So I think I have to end here. Now I have to speak with Swiss Gentle, who is having some difficulty. And I'll get back to you all next, now Tuesday, we will meet again at 9 p.m. here. And what's the time there? 6:30? 7:30? 7:30 a.m.
In India?
Yeah, 7:30 in India, a.m.? 9 p.m. 7:30
a.m.
in India?
No, no.
A.m.
Early morning.
7:30 a.m. in India, 9 p.m. here in U.S.
1:30 in Europe.
Okay, very good. 1:30 p.m., not 1:30 a.m. We can have like an international satsang. This is very nice. I appreciate so much all of you are coming so nicely and participating so nicely with us. It is a great blessing. My humble dandava pranams to you all.
Thank you very much.
Dandavats. Dandavats.